Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Aytan iz murşid se dua khase dua. Saqiya jame ulfat pina de meri islah ki bhi dua de. Saqiya jame ulfat pina de meri islah ki bhi dua de. Mere maula se mujhko mila de aur gunahon ko mujhse chura de. Mujhko nafrat ho har maasiyat se, rooh ko meri aisi dawa de. Mere maula se mujhko mila de aur gunahon ko mujhse chura de. Mujhko nafrat ho har maasiyat se, rooh ko meri aisi dawa de. Ho takaza agar maasiyat ka, hoon na maghloob himmat khuda de. Ho takaza agar maasiyat ka, hoon na maghloob himmat khuda de. Apni aahe sahar mein ye kehna, eh khuda apni kamil rza de. Apni aahe sahar mein ye kehna, ae khuda apni kamil rza de. Chain ki nind mujhko sula de, khwab ghaflat se mujhko jaga de. Chain ki nind mujhko sula de, khwab ghaflat se mujhko jaga de. Jazb se mujhko ae mere malik, jazb se mujhko ae mere malik, ahle taqwa karam se bana de. Ahle taqwa karam se bana de, apne akhtar ko ruswa na karna, uske aibon ko ya rab chupa de. Saqiya jame ulfat pila de, meri islah ki bhi dua de.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is the ash'ar of our dada Sheikh Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Hakim Akhtar Saab Nawwar Allahu Manqadahu. Hazrat Mawlana is actually explaining what is the purpose of coming to the Khanqah. We come week in, week out, but what is the reality or what is the purpose that we have in our mind for coming to the Khanqah? Hazrat Mawlana always mentions to us that the Buzrugs have the same amount of time as we have. They don't have a 25-hour day. They also got a 24-hour day. But every single action that they do, they couple it with the intention. And sometimes they couple it with intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful. The more intentions you make, the more Allah ta'ala is ready to give you. So one of the intentions for coming to the Khanqah should be what Hazrat Mawlana is going to explain. Hazrat Mawlana is saying that when we come here to the Khanqah, then we should come with an empty glass. This glass empty, devoid of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you come with the intention that, oh Allah, I am coming here to the bias, the suhbat of the Ahlullah, so that I may get that love of you in my heart. So the Mu'ana is saying that when you come here, then it's as if the Shaykh is dishing out the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just have to have your glass open, your container open, and it will automatically fill. They mentioned that you can be under the Niagara Falls, but your glass is upside down. Not one drop is going to go inside. But if you just flip the glass open, over, and the mouth of the glass is open, then it will just fill and overflow. So one of the intentions for coming to the Khanqa, to the majalis, is, oh Allah, you grant me your love. Then Hazrat is mentioning that one is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But together with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah ta'ala praising Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have said other qualities, but one of the main qualities Allah ta'ala outlined of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his abdiyah. So ulama mention, subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken higher than the angels could go, it was because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the pinnacle of abdiyah. So how to become the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One has to make one's complete islah. When we say islah means that I have no thoughts, I have no brains. My intelligence can tell me this, but what the Sharia says I'm putting in front of me. Whatever directives is given to me, even if I see it as upside down in my mind, I'm going to follow it. Why? Because this is ultimately from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once a person, what they'll call this fina, that he makes himself completely devoid of any status, then immediately you'll start getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan, he used the intelligence in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no, I'm made from fire. Fire goes up. Adam alayhi salam is made from sand. Sand goes down. How can something which goes up make sajda for something that goes down? So our intelligence can take you astray. Shaitan went astray because of his intelligence. Ali radiallahu anhu used to mention that if deen was based on our intelligence, then we should say, you know what, make masa of the under of the hoof. Because when you're walking, the under of the hoof is getting soiled. But dictates of Sharia says, make masa of the top of the hoof. So whatever Sharia says, that must be on top. On top of your intelligence. Your brain can tell you what, your intelligence can tell you whatever it is. But my Allah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, but my mind is switched off, I'm going to follow that way then. So Hazrat mentioning that when you come to the Khanqa, one is, oh Allah, grant me your love. Second is, oh Allah, make my complete islah. Let it be that I become without any status in front of insan. But in front of you, I must be full of status. They mention how many people, in the eyes of people, they not recognized. But when their hands is picked up, then the angel says that we recognize this voice. That voice is recognized in the skies. Then Hazrat Mu'ana is explaining that when you come to the Khanqa, then you making dua that, oh my Shaykh, please join me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make me, guide me to such a life which is going to make me close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then whatever sins I have in my life, please guide me to stay away from those sins. And ulama mentioned, Hazrat Mu'ana mentions time and time again, when you have a sickness, in each one of us, kullun bani adam khata'un, each one of us has sins in our life. Allah Ta'ala make it such that we give up sins. But when you have the sin in your life, then mention it to your Shaykh. That, Hazrat Mu'ana, I have this problem, I cannot control my eyesight, or I'm going on the wrong side, or I'm doing this, or I'm stealing, or I have whatever it is. Inshallah, through the barakah of the prescription that is given to you, Allah Ta'ala will make it such that you leave this. But if you don't talk about the sin, one is to acknowledge the sin. After acknowledging the sin, you have to take treatment. You can't just say, no, Allah is Ghafur Rahim, Allah Ta'ala will forgive me. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you, but you have to make some effort.
Allahu yahdi ilayhi man anab. You make the move, the first step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala makes the way open for you. Dear Nazar Mwana is saying that when you give up sin or you have the desire to give up sin, then together with that, it mustn't just be that you don't do sin. But rather it must be that you have a hatred in your heart for sin. That you don't want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the least. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us in the dua, Allahumma rahamna bitarkil ma'asi abadam ma'abqaitana. That, oh Allah, through your raham and your karam, please make it such that I give up sin for the rest of my life. As long as I'm loving, I don't fall into sin. Then Hazrat is saying that each one of us, our ruh has sin. Our ruh has the desire to do evil. So, oh my Shaykh, please give me such a prescription, such a medicine that is going to make my ruh detest any type of sin. And going to just focus on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another one is explaining that when you have that intention and you follow the prescription, then what's going to happen is when the desire comes to commit a sin, then at the end you'll realize that my Allah says I can't do that. My Allah is not going to be happy with me. So I will leave the sin for the pleasure of my Allah. Instead of making shaitan happy, instead of making my nafs happy, I will make the creator of both happy. Then Hazrat Mawlana mentions that this must be your cry in the early part of the morning. Ah, they say it's the starting and the ending of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. So even when you're in that time where you have this close moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even by just taking out that ah, you're remembering Allah. That, oh Allah, at this moment where everybody is in ghaflat, everybody is sleeping, oh Allah, you made me wake up to turn towards you. Oh Allah, at this moment make it such that I detest all sin. Ulama mentioned that the best is when you wake up at night. To wake up, make wudu, perform two rakat salah, minimum. And then make dua, salat tahajjud. Ulama say, even if you're so lazy to wake up from your bed, Allah Ta'ala gave you the opportunity to wake up at that moment. Don't waste that moment. Don't just turn the head over and fall off to sleep. Even if you're lazy to wake up and perform salah, optimum is to perform salah. But even if you're lazy in that moment, oh Allah, I'm so lazy, I'm your weak servant. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفَ. You created us weak. But oh Allah, you woke me up at this moment to talk to you. Oh Allah, while I'm lying on my comfortable bed, oh Allah, my heart is connected to you. And then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you need. Ulama mentioned, if you do this, inshallah, you will get tawfiq to wake up from the bed, to make the wudu, and to go on musalla and cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant me for the tawfiq and then everybody else. Then Hazrat Mawlana mentions that ultimately when we're living our life, then this dua also has to come out at the time of tahajjud. That, oh Allah, grant me your pleasure. Grant me your happiness. Oh Allah, if I have your happiness, I have everything. But if I have your displeasure, my dunya is going to waste. My qabr is going to be difficult. Akhirah, I don't have nothing. Oh Allah, at those moments when I'm alone, what you make it such that I live a life where I get your pleasure. Then Hazrat Mawlana is saying that wake up from the sleep of this ghaflat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being oblivious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wake up to such an extent that you realize that every moment my Allah is looking at me. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. That not only when you're doing sin, Allah ta'ala is looking at you. When you're doing good deeds, also Allah is looking at you. Oh Allah, I'm giving this one rain in sadaqah. Oh Allah, it's your tawfiq. You accept it from me. Oh Allah, I'm reading two rakats extra salah. I'm reading one page of Quran. Oh Allah, this is only your tawfiq. You are looking at me. Oh Allah, I'm doing it for acceptance in your sight. Then Hazrat Mawlana is saying that there's one thing last time we spoke about, this attraction that Allah Ta'ala pulls you towards you. Like a magnetic attraction towards metal. It's called jazb. So, oh Allah, out of this attraction that you offer, pull me towards you, grant me this attraction towards you. and make it such that you are my king, you are my Malik. There's nothing for me besides you, O Allah. O Allah, you make me realize this and you pull me towards you. Then he's saying, one of the ways of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be in the company of the Ahlullah. Once you join yourselves to those people that are joined with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically it will rub off onto you. Then Hazrat Mawlana is explaining, is ending off, and he's saying that ultimately one is this life of the dunya. But we have to have the akhirah. Oh Allah, let me live such a life in this world, so on the day of Qiyamah I'm not disgraced. Don't let it be that I'm disgraced in front of all of creation. In today's time, somebody find out one son of yours and they start speaking about it, one wrong message goes out about you, how belittled you feel, how disheartened you feel. Now imagine, entire creation is there. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. All the pious people is there. And then he said that this servant is this servant, this servant is this servant. And nobody else is saying it, your own limbs are testifying against you. So Hazrat Mawlana is saying that, oh Allah, make it such that in this world I gain your recognition, I gain the closeness towards you, I gain your pleasure. So ultimately on the day of Qiyamah, I'm not disgraced. And then he's saying, oh Allah, out of your karam, your raham, your mercy, nothing is from our side. Oh Allah, please conceal all my faults. Don't make it such that even one fault of mine must become exposed. Allah Ta'ala, make it such that when we come to the majalis, then we come with these intentions, we come with these thoughts in our mind. And Allah Ta'ala, make it such that it becomes a reality first in my life and then in everybody else's life. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbillah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. From the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, Mawlana Ashraf Walid Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. Love for Allah and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fourth chapter. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has in him three things will experience the sweetness of Iman. Number one, his love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more than that for all and everything. Number two, his love for another person is motivated by only the love of Allah Ta'ala. This means that his love and friendship with people are not for worldly motives. He befriends people because they happen to be pious men of Allah. And number three, a man who after having been saved by Allah from kufr, abhors returning to kufr, hates returning to kufr, as much as he hates falling into a fire. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you cannot have complete iman as long as you do not love me more than your father, your children and all people. The hadith Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person cannot be a man of, cannot be perfect in iman as long as his love for me is not more than his love for his whole family and for all people. In Bukhari Sharif it is narrated that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most assuredly I love you more than all things but my own life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by the being in whose power is my life. One is not a perfect believer until one loves me more than one's own life. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu reflected and exclaimed, I now love you more than my own life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now you are a perfect Muslim. Note, initially Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu did not reflect and thought that since one is affected more by difficulty on oneself than difficulty on another, one's life must be dearer than another's. However, upon reflection he realized that for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every Muslim will readily sacrifice his own life. If a choice has to be made between one's own life and the dignity and honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the ordinary Muslim will be prepared to lay down his life at the altar of sacrifice. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu thus realized that in actual fact his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was greater than his love for his own life. And so it was and remained until the end. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu remained steadfast on the deen, never turning his face away from the deen by the slightest degree. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, love Allah because he nourishes and sustains you. Love me because Allah Ta'ala loves me. It should not be inferred from this hadith that we have to love Allah Ta'ala only because He nourishes us. This hadith merely implies that one should be unable to comprehend the limitless and vast favors and bounties of Allah Ta'ala. If you cannot do so, then at least contemplate and understand this one very great ni'mat and bounty of sustenance. No one can ever deny or ignore this obvious fact of Allah Ta'ala being the sole nourisher and sustainer. Hence, understanding even a single fact will induce in one love for Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that a villager came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "O Rasulullah, when will it be Qiyamah?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "What preparations have you made for it?" He replied, "I have not much salat or fasting, but I have love for Allah and His Rasul." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he said, "On the day of Qiyamah, every person will be with the one whom he loved." This means that on the day of Qiyamah, those who had loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be with him. Along with his great fortune, they will be in close proximity to Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu then commented, after hearing this good news, Muslims became exceedingly happy. After having embraced Islam, nothing else besides the embracing them, nothing else made them as happy as the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Note the glad tidings conveyed in this hadith are of great significance. Even if one has no great stock of acts of nafal ibadah, the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will secure the treasure of divine proximity for one in the year after. Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu narrated that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed tahajjud salat. The whole night in his salat he read a single ayat until the morning. The ayat is, "If you punish them, O Allah, then they are your servants. You got the full power over them. If you forgive them, it is within your power. For you are all powerful and the one of wisdom." Shaykh Dehlawi rahmatullahi alayhi commenting on this hadith says that the Quranic ayat which was recited the whole night by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a statement of Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam which he will be making on the day of Qiyamah in regard to his ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented his ummah's case for forgiveness to Allah Ta'ala in the same manner. This loving attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bears testimony to his great love for his ummah. For the sake of this love, he sacrificed the comfort of whole nights, petitioning and appealing to Allah Ta'ala to forgive his ummah. It will only be a heartless one whose heart is not moved when he hears of the great love which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding and realization.